Wednesday the 25th of November, Ches Kislev, Rabbi Yerucham Shapiro, raising our children with our hectic schedule.
Good morning to everyone, and may it be a pleasant day, send us a day of easy day with our Chavos Hadas. For the past few weeks, we are reading in the first parshiyos of the Torah, the first sedders of the Torah Akdeshe, which plant our yesodis of emunah, of chesed, the way a person should live during his life. The Navi cries out, and the Navi says, "Habitu l'avram avichem v'osot cholauchem." They and their children, the Shiftei Kor, set the foundation of how we are to act. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo has blessed us with beautiful matonas. One of them is the matona of children, and each child is different. But we also know what are our responsibilities. What is our tafkid in caring for these precious matonas that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has given to us? Just a few weeks ago, we began to learn and read in the Torah about the creation of the world. And it is interesting to know that when the Rebbeinu Shlomo created all species, the Torah tells us, "Vayar Elokim Kitoiv." The insects get a Kitoiv, the monkey, the tiger, the lion, the elephant, they all get a Kitoiv. But the creation of Adam, of man, does not get a Kitoiv. The Rebbeinu Shlomo examines his work at each step of the Yetzirah and pronounces it good, with the exception of the creation of man. Rabbi Yosef Albo, in his Sefer HaYikorim, explains that every element of creation is a finished product. When the Rebbeinu Shlomo creates an insect, an elephant, an orange, an apple, a tree, it becomes what it is. The stature will not change. Therefore, it can be evaluated and declared good. Man is always in a state of potential. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Yitzayim, that when our Chachamim took leave of each other, they would say, "Olamecha tira b'chayecha." May you see the world in your lifetime. And Rav Schwab interprets this so beautifully. The word "Olamecha" is cognate with "Ha'elimecha," the part of you that is hidden. A person's world is the part of him that has yet not been seen by the day of light, the part that is his potential. What he still has to strive for, what he still has to achieve, it is the work of a lifetime. And this is the bracha that our Chachamim wished each other. May you see the world in your lifetime. May you achieve in your lifetime your full potential that the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants from you. Yes, we have to strive and achieve as much as possible. And the question is of us parents, as mechanchim, helping our children, our students achieve their true potential. Are we giving them the important element of time? Each child is an individual. Each child is different. What is good for one may be detrimental for the other. The Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, when he discusses the hatred of Esav to Yaakov, in the passage of Yisraelitzu Habonim Bekirbo, mentions, among other insights, the following. He said that there is an approach of observing the child taking heed of his or her abilities, structuring realistic goals for the child, and educating the child in accordance with his or her learning style. This is known, and everybody's familiar with Chanoch Lenoah Alpidakoi. The other approach, he says, is perceiving the child not as he is, but as he ought to be. And all too frequently, this method ends in total defeat for the mentor and a disaster for the child. If we look at the pasuk in Mishlei, at the pasuk of Chanoch Lenoah Alpidakoi, the word Chanoch is spelt without a vav. It is chasa. Of all words in Chinuch, that word is misspelled. It's almost like somebody would misspell the word of education. Normally I would spell Chanoch with a vav. Ches, nun, vav, and endachav. But perhaps there's a limit here. Perhaps there's a lesson over here for us. It's no big deal teaching the child who is brilliant. The great thing in teaching is teaching the child who is chaser, one who is weak, for the child that needs attention, for the child that needs that extra push. And maybe that's why the word chanoch in Mishlei is chaser. Not every child has to always be up front. Every child's important, and every child plays a very important role. It is told of the great Arturo Toscanini, who was conducting Beethoven's Symphony No. 3 back in the 1930s with the NBC Symphony Orchestra. The outdoor concert was held at City University Lewisohn Stadium, and it was attended by so many people. And the famed trumpeter, Harry Glantz, was going to play the offstage trumpet, which was an integral part of the production of this piece. And people flocked to hear the great trumpeter under the baton of the even more accomplished Toscanini. Glantz positioned himself in a corner about 50 feet behind the stage, ready to blast his notes on cue. As the recital led up to that moment, Toscanini held up his baton. He held it up high, waiting to hear the sharp blasts of Glantz's horn. They never came. All he saw was a burly security guard wrestling with his hapless musician on the grass behind the stage. And the guard was pointing to the stage, and he was saying, "You fool!" He was shouting at him, "What do you think you're doing blowing that horn back here? Don't you see there's a concert? There's a concert going up?" Every child has an important role. He may be the quiet one. He may not shine like others or always be seen up front, but he is important. Yes, we daven, we shed tears, We are mispallel for our children. We are mispallel for our batei chinuch. And we have to make note of those tears. And those tears count. And children also shed tears. Not always seen. Often hidden. Not everyone is in the madrega of Rabbi Ber. It is told over that when he was young, he did something wrong, and his father gave him a slap, and he started crying. father noticed that his young Baruch Bear went over to the sperm shank, took a siddur, and he began to daven mincha. So his father says to him, "What is this? What are you doing? Why are you davening now?" And the Baruch Bear answered, "I'm crying. I'm crying now. I may as well use my tears for something good. I use my tears for tefillah." Yes, we can't expect our children to be on that madrega. But when we hear their cry, when we see their hurt, we have to show love. We have to give encouragement. And most of all, we have to give them time. Yes, we are busy. We live in a busy world. We have many obligations. There are many pressures at home. The pressures in business. Rav Leib Chassman, the famous Bar Musa, once gave the following example. And he was speaking to a whole group of educators, and he said to them as follows. He said to them, "A glazier always steps on glass as he works. If a glass breaks, he continues working, stepping on the broken glass. It's his illness. He just goes on with his work. What happens in our home if a glass breaks? We stop whatever we're doing. We run from the broom. We get the shovel. And we sweep it up. Chas v'shalom, nobody should get hurt." He continued further, "A person who binds sperm always or very often winds up stepping on Shemus. If a page falls out of a sefer, of a chumash, of a siddur, he goes on with his work. The hepach," he said, "in the house, if something should fall out from a sefer, from a chumash, from whatever sefer it is, we stop whatever we're doing. We run to pick it up, we kiss it, we put it back into Shemus, put it back into the siddur. Why is this?" The person, he said, that it's his umness, it's his daily work, he doesn't even realize what he's doing. He just continues with his work. So he said to the mechanchem, said, "Ich betach, tret nicht ab die Kinder. Don't step on the children. You get so involved with your daily routine, with the work that you have to do, that you don't even realize very often that you're stepping on your own children. Every child has potential." There's a very interesting Maimon Chazal in Parshas Vayetze. The Chazal says as follows, "Vayikra Shem Hamokim Hahu Beis Kel. Omer Rabbalaza Maidik Siv V'hochu Amim Rabim V'omru Lechu V'nale El Har Hashem El Beis Elekei Yaakov V'loma Loi Elekei Avraham V'Yitzchak." Continues and says, "El Eloike Avraham Shekosev Boi Har Diksiv V'Har Hashem Yiroa V'loike Yitzchak Shekosev Boi Sode Diksiv Vayetze Yitzchak Lesuach Vasode Elekei Yaakov Shekoroi Beis El." That's the Chazal. And now, Pidrush, we could ask, what did Avraham Avinu see over here when he went up on this mountain? And he went up on this plain? All he saw was a mountain. There, nothing was there. When he went up to the Sahara Maria, there was nothing to see. What did Yitzchak see when he went up on this mountain? A plain. A soda, he saw nothing. But Yaakov just say saw a bias. And the question is, what bias did he see? He did not see anything different than Avon saw or what Yitzchak saw. What did he see over here? And the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu, he saw what's going to be in the Osid. He saw eventually what is going to stand on this Har Moriah. And he saw that bias, that eventually on this place will be the Beis HaMikdash. We have to see our children not as they are, but we have to see their potential and work with that child to fulfill that potential. We love our children. And with love we have to give them whatever we can to bring out that potential. Let me tell you a story. Did you ever see how a goy takes care of his car? When I was a youngster, I grew up in a predominantly Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn and Bensonhurst. I used to watch every Shabbos morning when this guy was off from work. Every Shabbos morning, the same routine, come out with a pail and with schmatters, salmon eyes and with sprays and everything, and start cleaning his car. For hours, he would stand there. Nachamol and Nachamol, wash and this. And he thought it was all clean. He would step back a little bit and still sees, no, still not. There's still a corner there that's not. Take out another shmata, take out, clean it again. And then, finally finished the outside of the car, all the doors open up. Starts with the inside. Again, cleaning and wiping and washing and seat, the seats, the dashboard and everything. I said to myself, what's this kind of sugar? Finally has a day off. Every week spends hours and hours and just shining up his car. But the Torah says, why does he do this? He does this because he loves his car. And if he loves his car, he's going to do everything in the world to make that car sparkle and shine. I have to do the same thing with our children. If we love our children, we have to do whatever we can, whatever is in our yacholus, to make them sparkle and to make them shine. Teaching and bringing up children is compared to the lighting of candles in the Beis HaBchira. On the pasuk in the Torah of the Haloscha Saneres, our Chazal tell us, "At shetehei shal heves oile me'aleha," to the flames go up by itself. We have to light in the neshama with the love of Torah, with the love of Midas Torahs, with the love for the Rabbeinu Shlalom, and with the love for the fellow man. Let them see us do chesed. Let them see how we care for others. Islaman Yidati Rashid Savis Banav. That's why he was entrusted. But the Bnei Yisrael knew that he could give it over to others. We have to set examples for our children to follow. It's very interesting that after the rebellion of Korach, after the rebellion was put down, the Torah states, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lema, Daber Bnei Yisrael V'yikhu Me'itam, Mate Mate Leves Ab Leves Kol Nisiyehem Leves Avesam Shneim Asar Matris. Take 12 staffs, one from each Nasi, from each Shevet, and write on them the name of the Shevet of each Nasi on each staff. V'shem Aharon Tichtev Al Mate Levi, which includes the Shevet Kahuna, and put them into the Aramoyed. And the pasuk continues, "Asher yivoy lachem shama v'hoya ha'ish asher efka boy matehu yivchach." The matter that gives four fruit, he will be the manig, and I will rid myself of all the complaints that the yidden have. And Moshe put the 12 staffs in the Aramoyed in front of the Oren, And Moshe came out to the oil ha'edus and saw that the matter of Aharon blossomed. A flower, a bud came out, and almonds came out. First there was a blossom, then a bud, then a fruit. And Aaron was the winner. Three things happened. And we would say that they all happened in the oil moed. The Rashbam says no. That when Moshe took out the staff, there was only a perach. Behine perach, that's all. After that, by Yosef sits le'ene ko Yisrael. The rest was when everyone could see. Then first it gave out the bud, and it gave out the shkedim. If all would have happened at once in the oil hamoed, he says, the effort of the nes would not have been so visible. The mere fact that the staff was taken out just with a blossom, and when it was out, everyone saw that the shkedim, that the fruit, everyone saw that nes. It was something for everyone to see what is happening over here. And the Rosh Yeshiva of Beit Zev asks, if what we wanted to have was the maximum of effect, why put it originally in the Oil Moed? Leave all the staffs on the Bima. Everyone could see all the staffs. And everybody should see what happens to the staff. Why put it into Oil Moed? And he answers, it is important for every living thing to come from the best source, especially when it comes to Ruchnius. The more Kedusha in its originality, the greater the results. If the environment is the Fnei Hashem, it will be great. And this is a lesson for all of us. We must have the right foundation, the best circumstances, that we can attain to see great results. The Gemara in Gittin is a machlokes if a tree's roots are in Eretz Yisrael, but the branches grow out in Chutz La'aretz. Concerning Kedusha's Truma Maisa, if it has a Kedusha because the source was in Eretz Yisrael, even if the fruit is growing out in Chutz La'aretz, but the important part is where the source was. The source is not as well. The Kedusha is much greater. But there's another lesson from the parasha over here. Moshe Rabbeinu took out all the matters, and the Yidden saw that the matter of Aaron bore fruit. And then Vayikach, Vayikchu Ish Matehu. Everyone went. They all went and they took their staff back. They lost. If you buy a lottery ticket and you check the numbers and you see it's not the numbers that you chose, it's not the numbers that you picked, what do you do with the ticket? You rip it up and you throw it away. Why over here? Why did you take this? They saw who was the winner. Leave the staffs there and go home. They lost. And Rav Zalman Sorotzkin answers that all of them wanted to be the chosen ones. Every Shevet Levi, the Shevet Levi, even though they're the poorest in Eretz Yisrael, no property, they're supported by the people's tumas and maisvas, they had it very hard. Why did they want it? Because boy, bachar Hashem, the schus of being the shevet hanivcha, the schus of doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, this is what they were striving for. They took their staffs, Chazal tell us, and they mounted it in their home over the fireplace to tell their families, see what I was willing to give up. I was willing to give up everything to be in the shevet Levi, to be the Am HaNivchar. I was willing to give up my home. I was willing to give up my possessions. Just I'd be to work in the Beis HaMikdash. The matter that you see says everything. It shows what is important. It's not like a worthless lottery ticket. It's something to show the family what you were willing to give up. Yes, we have to set examples. Examples for our children. We have to show them what is really important. And everyone could do this in their own individual way. And as parents and as teachers, we have to notice that something and when it bothers a child. What was the godless of Yosef? He was in jail. There were two other people with him also in jail. And when he wakes up one morning and he takes a look at the people with him in jail and says, "Hey, what's the matter here? I see something on your face. There's something bothering you." And they tell him what's bothering, the dreams that they had, and he interprets the dreams. And the rest is all history. The godless of Yosef. There are times that we're going to see on the face of a child that the face is not like yesterday. Something is bothering this child. And we have to have that patience. We have to give that time to the child. "Mamala, what's the matter? What is bothering you? Why are you not smiling today?" That attention that we give means so much to the child. You yourself discover things of the child. And look at the chesed that you're doing helping. And the pasuk, "Behoi akubim pesek knofayim, lamala sechir mikamfeim ala kaperis." Rabbi Soroskin interprets the word sechachim as covering. Covering the kaperis to mean protecting. And he says, according to one pshat, the faces of the kruvim were the faces of children. And the Medrash explains that when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he questioned their ability to keep their attraction to the Torah. Who would ensure that the later Davis, the later generations, would not neglect the Torah? And Klal Yisrael responded that the Skenim, the elders, would serve as an insurance that the Torah continues as the mainstay of our existence. Regrettably, the Skenim were not sufficient to assure the Rabbeinu Shleilam of Klal Yisrael's commitment. Maybe future generations would not be so committed. Perhaps only the generations that saw the Nisim and the Nefloyas from the Rabbeinu Shleilam, only they would stand strong fest in their Amunah. Only after Klal Yisrael said that our children shall be the guarantors, we will teach them, we will inspire them. We will inspire them with the Torah. Only then did the Rabbeinu Shleilam accept the promise. I once heard from my father, that's all, and the Yodai Archezis Bakei Vesav, in the Tites where he said, "The Yodai Archezis Bakei Vesav, Yaakov holds up high, but Esav steps on with his heel." But this Torah mitzvah that Esav steps upon, this is where Yaakov holds up high. The Rabbeinu Shlom should bless us all with the proper insight in raising our children, that they should be a nachas to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, a nachas to us, and a nachas to the Klal Yisrael. Thank you.